This is Behind the Brush by St. Jack.
Don't waste time trying to be like other people. Don't waste time looking at what they're doing, listening to their videos and going, oh, how can I be like that? How can I put out a video like that? Just sit down, pick up a product and just start talking about why you like this, how you use this, why it benefits you to have it in your kit. And just start there, and then with that, you'll just become so much more confident to talk about anything and everything that you're passionate about.
Hello, and welcome back to Behind the Brush. It's me, it's Beth, your host, makeup artist, and founder of St. Jack Cosmetics. How are ya? Me? Well, I am absolutely sick as a dog. I did a RAT this morning. I am thankfully negative. I think it would be pretty unlucky for me to get COVID again this soon, but I am recording this on the Easter long weekend and it is Saturday morning and it is absolutely gorgeous here in Melbourne. And I have nothing to do but sit inside and take Codral and Armor Force or whatever that stuff is called and just try and get better. But it feels a little bit cruel that on such a beautiful day and a long weekend when I should be out with my friends that I'm here with the microphone. But you know what? You guys keep me young and I love doing the show. So other than that, there is one very exciting piece of news that I get to share with you right before we jump into today's episode. Drumroll, please. The podcast has officially surpassed 2,000 downloads. What? 2,000 downloads? I mean, look, like I don't know anyone personally who's like a podcaster, and so I don't really have a benchmark, but I feel like that's a pretty big milestone. I started the show in November last year. I've done 9 interviews, so really like that's not even that many, and a few little solo interviews. And so I'm just so humbled and I'm so grateful for your support. Like I'm getting downloads in the US, in Germany, the UK, random downloads in Japan and Vietnam. So shout out to you guys. Like I literally can't believe it. And I only have you to thank. On average, each episode of the podcast takes me about 8 hours to put together. So on top of running St. Jack as the brand, being a makeup artist, having other streams of income, that's a lot of work. You know, there's the research phase, lining up the interviews, doing the interviews, editing, sharing to socials, uploading to the magical cloud platform that puts it on your phones. So, you know, I do it because I love it, but I also do it because these are important conversations to have without sounding like an egomaniac. And I want you to hear them. So for the first time in a long time, I would love to ask you to please help me grow just a little bit more by sharing this episode or even leaving a review or rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You'll just help me and the show get discovered by other artists and beauty junkies just like you. And help me stay motivated to keep creating this content for us all to enjoy. But enough about that. Let's turn our focus onto today's episode because I am so excited to be joined by Brisbane makeup artist Sabrina Walsh. Sabrina has been working in the industry since she finished high school in 2015. And just 2 short years after that, she started her freelancing career. So she's been freelancing since 2017 with a really loyal client base. She is a very beautiful soul. You will hear her very soothing voice actually on this show. And I was really excited to have her on the show because she is also a lord of TikTok. In fact, we actually connected for the first time on TikTok. So she has just under 25,000 followers. And alongside her makeup artistry work, she has built an entirely new career that runs parallel to that in content creation. She's had videos exceeding like 3 million views. So that's pretty crazy. So there's so much that she can teach us about being an artist who is also a content creator. So perhaps this episode will inspire you to launch that part of your career if that's something you've been thinking about, because it is very much a very real opportunity to build a new and additional stream of income. So this episode is all very exciting. It's all very modern. So let's get straight into it. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Sabrina Walsh.
Sabrina Walsh, welcome to Behind the Brush.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm a huge fan of the pod and I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, thank you so much. I love the pod. It's my little baby. So if you are a fan, you would know that I start every episode with the same question. Sabrina, what did you want to be when you grew up?
So I grew up with lots of different hobbies and that made it really difficult for me to really narrow it down to one thing. So for me as a kid, I never really had that one thing that I was obsessed with, that one thing that I always wanted to be. And it didn't really hit me until I was almost 20. So if I was to go back, I did do the police academy in my high school work experience. So I could have been a cop.
What?
Could you imagine?
That's insane. That is like chalk and cheese.
Could you believe? Like, I can't even. Anyway, so clearly I went down a completely different path. But yeah, that's probably the one and only thing that I was able to somewhat decide I might want to be when I grow up, and ended up going the complete other direction.
The complete other direction. You took a very sharp U-turn and kept driving into the distance. That's crazy.
Yes.
This is why I love this question. You just never believe what's going to come out of people's mouths. So if that was the case, when did you start getting into makeup? Were you one of those ones who was like, I picked up mum's lipstick when I was 4, or was it more of a slow burn for you?
So I never even thought that makeup was something that I would ever be interested in, ever be good at, until my friend at the time actually asked me, hey, would you mind being my model for my makeup class? And I knew she was studying this class. I knew it was something that she was interested in because she spoke a lot about it. And at the time, I wasn't wearing makeup. I probably owned one dirty old secondhand concealer from my mom.
We've all been there. Yeah.
So I did in fact go as her model, and it was the day that sort of changed my life and started my career forever, because from that day forward, I couldn't stop thinking about makeup. She opened up this door that I never saw before, never even thought was possible. And when I went home after being her model for the day, which might I add, it was a mission to get there. I had to catch like 2 buses and a train just to get there from my house.
She's a good friend, ladies and gentlemen.
I know. And everything in the world should have sort of pointed me in the other direction to be like, oh no, it's too much effort, it's too hard. But really, because I went and I went through, I had to like call in sick for work and like, you know, all of that type of thing. I went, and from that day forward, that was the one moment that really changed my life and introduced me to the passion and the purpose that I have now, you know?
So wild. Do you know, like, can you pinpoint what it was on that day? Like, was it the way she made you feel when she applied makeup on you? Was it kind of observing everyone else have a transformation? Do you know what it actually was that gave you that purpose?
I'm going to embarrass myself now.
Oh, please do. I do it every day.
But I saw Janelle Dale teaching the class, and she just worked magic. And it was honestly like she could transform everything. She was this all-knowing makeup woman. She looked incredible. Every single piece of, you know, product she picked up, she was able to just create magic and teach it to people. And that really inspired me. And I'd never been around that kind of thing before. So when I saw her teaching the class, I went away being like, wow, I want to be more like her. She still is a huge inspiration to me. And, you know, as a freelance makeup artist, I still look up to her so highly. And I think that was the moment where I was like, wow, I want to come back and I want her to teach me what all of these girls and boys are learning, because I want that too.
So how long did it take you from going home that day feeling like inspired and excited to ending up in the very same class?
So I went home, couldn't stop talking about it. My partner was like, you have to go and study this. My partner's family was like, you have to go and study this. You're not shutting up about it. Please, please. So it was actually my partner and his family who really pushed me to the next step of picking up the phone and going, hi, I'd like to inquire, can I please sign up to this course? I don't know anything about makeup, but I'd love to learn. And it was a short course. It wasn't anything that was overly expensive or time consuming. I believe it was about 9 9 to 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And that was what introduced me to makeup for the first time. And I think I started as the next, you know, a lot of students came in. So a few weeks later.
Wow. That's wild that you didn't have that before and so quickly. Like, it was such a key moment that was, you can really kind of define in time. Like, for me, you know, I talk about my love for makeup and how that happened, and it's a very slow burn. My sister, you know, used to work on beauty counters in David Jones, and so there was always makeup around the house, and so she'd have, you know, the new Chanel this or whatever that, and so it was really easy to get my sticky little paws all over everything. But like, nothing. I don't have like a key moment in time. So that's just so cool. So you finished studying. This is like, you know, just after high school, basically, like the following year, mm-hmm. 2015, course done, you start working in retail. Now, mm-hmm. there's so much else, like there are so many other things that I want to talk to you about other than just working in retail. So I don't want to like focus too heavily on this, but it's interesting because everyone who I've had on the show who has worked in retail, who has had that experience before freelancing or doing whatever they're doing now, they always say that it was that time that was super crucial for them in kind of refining their skills. And I'm just curious to know, was that your experience as well?
I honestly think being thrown into the deep end, which is what my boss at the time did, I went from 9 weeks of experience to doing back-to-back makeup applications on a Saturday. And with that,
that's enough to give me a panic attack, and I'm almost 30.
trauma, chaos, pure chaos. It was a lot very quickly, and that forces anybody to pick anything up that they can from the artists that they're working around that might make the job faster and easier. And you know, working behind a makeup counter, you don't always have access to all the products that you might want because somebody else might be using it. If you don't know, you'll have a visual merchandising set up in the middle of your store. The makeup artist will go and pick what they need from that and use it on you during your makeup application. And so if somebody else is using something you need, you got to go find something else that's going to do the same job. And that is something that taught me a lot because I was picking up face powders and using them as eyeshadows, and I was picking up eyeshadows and using them as brow products. And that kind of goes with everything. And that alone is a skill that I use now. I don't believe that one product serves one purpose. And so I think that's definitely the biggest thing that I took away from that. And also how to be quick, because Lord knows there's like 500 distractions around you at all times during your appointment. So, yeah, you're on a bit of a time like restraint. You need to get everyone through nice and quick. So I think learning how to maximize the products that I do have and learning how to be quick are my two biggest takeaways from working behind a makeup counter for 2 years.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, yeah, it's the speed thing for me. Like when I got started first in makeup, I was so slow. And then sometimes even today when I'm not thinking about it, I'll be so slow. Or like I know I've got, you know, a bit of time up my sleeve. It's like, no, I think it's really good just to be short, sweet, get it done in the nicest way possible.
But yes, like, of course.
Your work can be better sometimes when you're not, you know, really kind of spending too long focusing on something. And obviously it learned you how to really taught you, sorry, how to think on your feet. So you left the retail job in 2017 and you started freelancing then. So take me back to those initial days, because you told me offline that when you left the job, you had already moved out of home, you had rent to pay, you had bills to pay, you had KFC to buy. And so you needed to be making money. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't a hobby. I'm not a hobby makeup artist. I need to be making money. I need to be like a true artist out there in the wild. So how did you do that, moving from a retail environment going out into the wild?
So I had a lot of support from my existing clients. My existing clients behind the makeup counter were so unbelievably loyal, and I'm so, so proud to say that they are still with me to this day. You know, nearly 8 years later. And for me, I think it was out of pure desperation, I needed to make it work. There was no, oh, if it doesn't work out, I'll just do something else, because I didn't study. I didn't have an OP so I could just go to uni. I wasn't about to start from scratch because I had just, you know, dedicated 2 years of my life to learning this new skill, that it was a fire burning inside of me. And I think from the passion and from the desperation to purely survive, I was able to just hustle, you know?
Yeah.
So it was hard for me because I had to just use what I had and get the absolute most out of it. And for somebody who had enough savings to get by, but it was going to run dry pretty quick, I needed to just get clients from wherever I could. So I really have my existing clients and my housemates at the time to thank, because they told their friends and it was just word of mouth, because honestly, I was starting my social media off from scratch at that point. So I had no followers, no photos. You're not allowed to take photos of clients when you work behind a makeup counter. So I basically had to start from scratch, and I don't know how I made it work. Pure desperation.
Pure desperation, maybe pure talent for sure. So you didn't have any other source of income at the time?
No.
Sis, you got it done. So impressive.
That is wild.
Yeah, it actually really is. Like when I was putting together these questions, I was like, surely she's going to have had, you know, like a job at a cafe, you know, on the weekend. Oh, well, that's the most inopportune time, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Crazy. Did you feel really stressed during that time that you didn't have like a stable income to depend on? Were you stressed, you know, when's my next bit of money coming through? Am I going to make rent? Like, what did that feel like?
I basically stopped working my job. Woke up the next day and went, I'm starting a business with no prior experience, no idea what I was doing. And I can't even explain it, but I think for me, it was just like, there's no option. I'm just going to, how do I start a business? Okay, I need a logo. I need a name. I'm pulling things out from what I just have heard from school, you know? So I basically just started checking things off the list. And of course, you'll hit a roadblock when you're starting a business, because you'll be like, oh, I didn't think of that. Oh, well, here's my first mistake. Let's fix it. Let's add that into the business. Mm-hmm. And then we'll keep trying to work and work and work. Oh, there's another thing. I guess I need that as well. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And it's like, it's kind of funny to me because I think sometimes, people who want to be makeup artists forget that unless you are working for someone else, which is great and perfectly fine, you are a business owner, you an entrepreneur, you have to know how to deal with your tax, you have to know how to market yourself, and how to, you know, retain clients beyond just giving them good makeup. Like, it's very complex. And so to hear that you thought about it that way, not just, I've quit my job, I'm going to be a makeup artist. You thought about, I quit my job, I'm going to start a business. That's a completely different ball game and mentality that I think must have played some role in your success at that time. So that's good.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And it's a really good tip for young players as well. I mean, my own personal journey into becoming a freelance makeup artist was nowhere near that quick or structured, I guess. You know, I was kind of like bits and bobs, like here and there. And so the business side of things was really hard to kind of clean up after I'd made a bit of a mess of like my finances and my this and my that. And so I think it's a really great tip for anyone listening who's thinking about getting into the industry or who's just started. Get that shit together now. Now is the time.
Don't get me wrong. I had a lot to clean up.
Yeah.
There was mistake after mistake after mistake. But how do you know what you're doing until you just start, give it a go, run into the first roadblock, go recognize it, move past it, don't let it happen again. And that's literally how I built my business. That's it.
So good. So good. So you continue to freelance and you're building momentum as a freelancer like over the next few years. So obviously the dreaded COVID is approaching in the conversation. And I really hate to focus on COVID in the show because I think everyone in the world is just sick of talking about it. But I think in your case, it came at a really critical point in your career where you'd been freelancing for a solid 2 years, you got lots of clients, you know, stable income, I'm guessing at that point. What was your career like in the month or two before COVID, before you even knew that it existed, like when you were riding that high? Like, how did you feel?
I felt like I had finally made it.
Yeah.
In quotations, I was working basically out of my home studio, which has taken me so many years to get together. If you're a client of mine, you, like a long-term client, you probably would have come and had your makeup done off of like 3 or 4 different kitchen benches. And that's just how it was, because there wasn't ever a moment where I was like, okay, I've got a room in my house. I can afford to have an extra room for makeup. I can deck this room out with stuff. And I hit a point where I was like, wow, financially, I can do this now. I can have a place to myself with a makeup room. I can decorate the makeup room just and have clients in that space. And so I was on cloud 9, thriving, and then it hit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thriving. And I felt like for the very first time, I was producing content. And this is a side thing for me, because I love makeup, but a huge thing for me is content creation. It always has been since I was little. And I was creating content that I was so proud of for the very first time in my entire life, because the lighting was on point, the background was on point, the phone camera was on point, because, you know, technology is just getting better.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of that came to an end.
Mm-hmm. And that's
put it all down.
Yeah. And I mean, it's obviously relatable because we all experienced it. And then you got to break it down a little bit further. You know, like, you're in Queensland, I'm in Melbourne. Artists in Melbourne didn't work for almost like 2 years. You got out of it a little bit earlier. But in those initial few months, it was like everyone in the universe is at home right now. And
yeah,
it's even for me, it was a incredibly disappointing time because I felt the same way, like at a different stage, but I was like, my momentum is really good right now. And then you lose it all, you know, and then you're spending the next however many weeks and months rescheduling things and God knows what. But we won't focus on that so much, but I just wanted to kind of set the scene for everyone of where you were at that time. And then we all get locked down, and then you use the abundance of time, like so many of us did, to create content. Now, as we know, you didn't have clients to do that with. So you were creating content on yourself and, you know, about makeup in general. So talk me through that. Is that when you started your TikTok? Because I have to talk to you about TikTok.
So, love TikTok. Huge fan.
Of course.
I didn't start immediately on TikTok because I didn't know how to use TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And TikTok is wildly different to Instagram. It's nothing like posting on Instagram. So I was used to the perfection and all of that, making sure everything was 100% bang on in order for it to make it to the gram. So I was still sort of posting on Instagram because that's what was familiar to me at the time. I was doing crazy, wild, creative makeup looks that might take me 4 to 5 hours to do and posting them just to chew up some of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then towards the middle to the end of 2020, that's when I started using existing content and moving that across to TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing was, I wasn't originally posting just me on TikTok. I was posting clients, I was posting BTS, none of which did good, because people want to see one face and one face only on TikTok. And so I soon realized, why is nobody liking this content? Because it's getting hundreds of likes on Instagram. It's good. I know it's good. So yeah, that's sort of towards the end of 2020 is when I started posting my face and just doing corny little TikToks and sort of figuring out all of that, because that's a whole different world for me.
Yeah. I mean, just on the point of people want to see one face on TikTok, I could talk about this particular topic for hours. I owe so much of St. Jack's success to TikTok and, you know, managing to work out that app and all this sort of thing. But the way that you do your TikToks is so great, like the value that you give people. And it's either, like, I feel with TikTok these days, it's either got to be somebody throwing spaghetti at a wall and it's so funny, or it's got to be really educational and valuable to people. Otherwise, they're just going to scroll through, right? So I checked just before we started recording this morning, and you are just shy. I mean, like 100 people shy of 25,000 followers on TikTok, which is massive. Right. And so you post consistently. You've had a viral video that got like, what, 3.5 million views. And so that was your eyeshadow hack. And then that was featured in a magazine. Like, what gets you up in the morning and makes you want to create on TikTok? Because it's a completely different thing to what you do as a makeup artist on a client. The kind of content you're creating on TikTok is so different. So what is it that gives you that like passion and drive to want to do it?
I am obsessed, not lightly, but severely, aggressively obsessed with YouTubers.
YouTubers,
I'm not
okay.
Kidding. Okay. Yes. So this does
like
tie
who?
Back to TikTok.
Who?
So for 8 years, every single morning until I've gone through all of my subscribed people, I will watch Jaclyn Hill, like, I love Sarai, Nikki Tutorials, all the OGs.
Yeah.
It's my therapy, right? So I know how to talk the talk in front of a camera purely because I hear it as background noise 365 days of the year without fail. I love it. And so that was why I was like, wow, I feel like I could be on camera. So I started trying it and was all awkward and weird at the start, and then realized, wait a minute, I want to be a YouTuber. And then realized how much work goes into that, and then thought, well, what's the next closest thing to content creation, beauty creation? What's happening right now that's huge? Of course, it's TikTok. So with all of that in mind, I naturally just want to be filming myself for fun. I will happily Snapchat my friends all day long and be like doing little hauls and giving little tutorials and showing them what I'm wearing makeup wise for the day. And then I thought, I'm just going to start putting this up on TikTok for whoever cares, really. And, you know, I wake up every day and I don't always have it in me to film, so I don't bother filming. And then when I wake up and I'm feeling cute and I want to like play with some new PR or some new products, I'll sit down with truly no clue what I'm doing until I'm starting to talk. And then whatever naturally comes out, whatever organic content I create, I just film it. And then I will film it until it's dark outside and then I stop.
Mm, that's crazy to me. So like, okay, so if you were sitting down to film one day, or like you decided I'm going to film today, I've got some time, you don't know what you're going to be like doing video wise on that day.
No.
That is wild.
That's what keeps it so true to how I'm feeling and what I like in the moment and exactly what I feel about that product. Because if I was to sit down and go, I'm going to show this blush off today, right? That's probably the most I'll go in with. And then I'll just be like, okay, cool. So do I like it? I don't know. Let's start playing. Oh, that's cool. Okay. I might, I've got that and it's looking great. I'm going to share this information, you know, like it's very just in the moment. So that's just what works best for me. I can't fake it. I literally can't lie. I cannot fake it. So when I'm trying to teach something that I'm just not passionate about, the video is just not fun. It is just not interesting. And you can see it all over my face. So yeah, I only teach what I feel like teaching in the moment.
That's amazing. So for anyone who doesn't follow Sabrina on TikTok, most of her videos, most of your videos are kind of like short little, like what, like 20 seconds, if that, you know, applying a blush combo like this was one I just watched this morning when I was checking on your follower account, you know, all these sort of thing, like tiny little snippets of value, which is a great way to grow. So I'm interested, like, because now you've got so many, you know, thousands of followers on TikTok, and, you know, you hear people every day say, even if someone's got 2,000 followers on TikTok, you could get like PR from big beauty brands because they want like micro influencers. So when was it for you that you felt a shift from, I'm just doing this for fun because I look at my idols and, you know, on YouTube and they're killing it and I could do that, you know? And that's a great feeling to have. When did it go from, I'm doing this for fun, to I could potentially make money out of this, or at the very least, I could get some free stuff out of this?
So I've never done it for the free stuff, but the free stuff is awesome.
You know what? We stan an honest queen. Oh yeah. My God. Who doesn't love free stuff?
It makes my day. It's like Christmas every day. But let's be honest, with all things, there's negatives, and sometimes, you know, you have to recognize, is it sustainable to have all of this in my house? Because am I ever going to use all of this? Mm. So there comes a time where you're like, okay, here, take my stuff. But I think for me, it started when that one lip liner eyeshadow hack video did go viral, and over 3 million people, which makes me crazy, like it's crazy, it makes me sick. I'm like, how, when that many people are interacting consistently, and that video still, you know, pops up as people see it, people like it, people are watching, I was like, it's possible for me to do this. It's possible, because it just happened, and I've seen that posting a video that you didn't think was going to do well went really well. And then from that point on, that's when I heard brands, you know, emailing me. I heard brands asking me to create content for them, asking me to just test out their product for fun. So it was probably from that video at the very end of last year. It was the very end of 2021. And I think that's when it was really real to me that, hey, I can do this. This is a possibility for me. It's been a dream for 7 years, and I'm finally seeing that it is possible.
I mean, it's just, it's so amazing. I think I've had lots of artists on the show before. It's kind of funny because I was thinking about it before I was talking to you, because part of the reason why I wanted to get you on the show was to talk about TikTok, because I think it's a new frontier, really.
Yeah.
And it's not even that new anymore, but it's another avenue for income, building a profile, whatever it might be. And it's funny, I've had artists on the show before, I was going to say, and they're like, yeah, no, we're not on TikTok. They can't deal with TikTok. TikTok's too much. And then next minute they've got TikTok and they've just like exploded. So after you have like a viral video and that goes really well, knowing that the beauty niche is so saturated with content creation, right? Sometimes I'll see people making a video about makeup or whatever. Sometimes I'll even see your video and I'm like, wow, like they are at the top of their game of like making this video. Like there's no point me doing that. And that's just negative self-talk. Like, you know, we could all give it a go.
Imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome. How do you deal with that? Do you suffer from that? And how do you deal with that?
I absolutely suffer with that. And that stunted my growth tremendously for many, many years, until I woke up and went, but people can't do what I do. So, and that is what changed for me. Like, seriously, I would look at big and small makeup artists, up and coming, people have been around for 10, 15 years, and I would just, my jaw would drop over their work. And I would go, why doesn't my lighting look that good? How can I get my lighting to look that good? And I waited and I waited and I waited, and I didn't post until I had the perfect setup. But there really is no perfect setup, because still I could have better audio. I could have better lighting. I could be filming in a studio instead of my bathroom. But I just put all that aside and went, but they can't do my style. So I'm going to put out my own aesthetic, my own taste. And if people like it, they're just going to watch it and interact. And it's the hardest thing in the world, because I still go through days where I look up to people and I'm like, wow, they're so much better than me. and it hurts and I recognize that and I'm like, okay, moving past that now, I'm going to go and film my own thing because it's totally different and there's enough room on the internet for all of us. That's the best part about TikTok. You're not restricted to just your city that you live in or your state or your country. Anyone from anywhere in the world can actually see, interact, and appreciate what you have to offer. So that's what keeps me going.
Can I get an amen up in here? With any social media in this kind of content creation, beauty space, whatever it might be, there's an expression, you probably heard it, that done is better than perfect. So it's just better to make a video at the best you can do right now and put it out there if that's something that you want to be doing and just keep going and keep persisting. And, you know, I get caught up in this like, oh, God, they're so much better. Their lighting is so much better. Their tips are so much better. I can't explain things that well. But it's like, you know what? If I'm in that mood, I just got to shut the phone down and come back to it when I can, you know, feel confident that what I'm doing is, you know, like you just said, like your own flavor. So the last thing I'll ask you about TikTok specifically is say there's a makeup artist out there listening to this today and they're thinking, I want to have the content creation kind of arm of my business running alongside the artistry arm of my business, or I just want to be a content creator. What is your specific advice or your top tips to get started and grow your account knowing what you know now? Like, what would you say to someone who's starting with literally zero followers?
Don't waste time trying to be like other people. Don't waste time looking at what they're doing, listening to their videos and going, oh, how can I be like that? How can I put out a video like that? Just sit down, pick up a product. If you like it, tell your audience why you like it.
Shout out to Leonard Lips.
Plug. It's keeping my hands busy because I'm like a really expressive talker.
Yeah, I get it.
Yes. So I suggest you just sit down in a comfortable environment, turn your camera on. If you don't have a lighting setup, don't even stress. Face some natural light, face a window, whatever, and just start talking about why you like this, how you use this, why it benefits you to have it in your kit, and just start there. And then with that, you'll just become so much more confident to talk about anything and everything that you're passionate about. But don't go looking at what other people are posting and expect yours to look like that, because it never will. You're never going to be able to replicate what another person is doing. So just be organic and be true to what you are passionate about, what you like. And I think with time and more confidence, you know, the more times you do it, it just becomes easier and easier. And you'll find a love and a passion for it, and that is sustainable. It's not sustainable to go, oh, I'm going to try and get my lighting to look like this every time, but I don't think it's going to, and that really bothers me. That's not sustainable. Coming from past experience, lighting is a really big thing for me, and I didn't ever create content before I had my professional lighting set up, and that, again, stunted my growth. I could have been doing this sooner. I wish I did. Don't let things like lighting, good audio, good camera quality define your content or let it stop you either.
Yeah, definitely. So good. And do you have, just out of curiosity, do you have like a secret formula about how many times a day you should post or what times or anything like that? Do you subscribe to that sort of stuff? Yep.
I fully subscribe to it. I love learning about that type of thing.
I think it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the best piece of advice for me is to go into your settings, look at your insights, look at the time of day that you're getting the most views, because you might not realize that 95% of your followers are from the States or from Europe or from another country where the time zones are different. So don't bother posting at 3 p.m. here when 95% of your audience is asleep on the other side of the world. So really look at what times people are watching your content the most. It'll tell you in like a little graph, and then post in those times. I think mine is about 6 a.m. in the morning, but Lord knows I'm not waking up at 6 a.m. in the morning every day to post on TikTok. So sometimes I just go, whatever, other times I really take that into account. But you would know this, sometimes the weirdest videos in the world that you never thought was going to be successful are the ones that go big. So you just never know.
It is. It's really odd. I swear to God, like for me on St. Jack's Instagram, it's like all the videos I kind of just posted because I was like, shit, I need to put something up. So all the videos I created like that I put like next to no effort into, they go really well. And it's like the ones that I'm sweating over that I'm thinking about for days. And I'm like, I've got to have my hair like this and my face like that. And they're just like, oh, a couple hundred views. I'm like, cool. But I mean, like my thing with TikTok is 95% of what you post will flop. 5% of what you post will go really, really well. So it's all about like consistency and just like keeping it up and not letting yourself get disheartened if, you know, your views one day are 3.5 million and your views the next day are 600. Like you've just got to keep it all in perspective and just keep evolving with it and have fun. Like most importantly, you know, nobody would be doing it if it wasn't fun.
Absolutely. And keep in mind that when you do have that video that does better, people are then going to click onto your page and expect you to have more content for them to interact with and watch straight away. So with that one viral video, you're going to realize that all the other videos surrounding that viral video are going to spike in views, likes, and all of those videos can be educational things that people actually want to know. So don't expect that your video now that only has three views and one like isn't going to help somebody in 6 months' time when one of your other videos goes really viral and then they come looking for what else you have to say.
And they just get stuck in a scroll on your account. And we love that.
I know I do.
Oh, so do I. Definitely. So do I for sure. So I want to change gears a little bit now. I mean, like I said, I could talk to you about TikTok all day. I just find it so fascinating. But towards the end of last year, you know, your TikTok's going off. We're really kind of post-COVID, well, we're post, you know, post-peak. And then towards the end of last year, you've got this TikTok game going, you're in a really good flow, and then you moved into your studio space. So tell me a little bit more about the studio space, and then I want to talk to you about how you're managing to do so much actual client work while also having this hectic content creation side of your business as well.
Of course. So the studio space was a project that was in the works for a long time. And it was something that I never considered prior because I thought, man, I've got it pretty good. I can walk downstairs at the end of the day and I'm home. I don't have to travel. I don't have to drive anywhere. I'm saving money on fuel and blah, 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 because I don't have to go out for lunch. And all of these things, I was convincing myself that by working from home, which I had been doing for like 7 years at this point, because, you know, doing makeup out of a kitchen bench or whatever. So I convinced myself that it was the best thing for me to do. And then when the opportunity arose, hey, Sabrina, would you be interested? I thought, nah, because I have it too good here. And then with more thought, I really sat on the idea, and that's why it took so long. But I sat on the idea and I was like, well, what are the benefits of me moving out of my home? I get to set boundaries with myself. I get to have a little bit more of a workspace and then a home space where I can relax and unwind. And for all my business owners, you know just how hard it is to put the phone down at the end of the day because there's always something to do. Mm. And I was exhausted 24/7. I was burnt out 24/7 because my home was my work and my work was my home. So then I decided I'm going to do this. I'm actually going to start planning on moving into this new space. And Michelle, the beautiful Michelle, if you're listening, Michelle, from Brow Sculpt.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. We love you. Michelle was the one who sort of convinced me, asked me, made the opportunity available to me to work alongside her and her team in the beautiful studio located in Paddington, Brisbane. And when I saw the space, it was like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't think I'm going to sign. And then the second I got into the space, I went, where are the papers? Where are the papers? I want to sign. This is too good. this is too good. So I just, it was like a light switch. And we all know at the start of our conversation, it was like a light switch with the makeup thing. It was like, I know that this is right. I know that this is for me. And when I was standing in that space, there was no ifs, buts, or maybes. I had to have it. And I'm not like that with anything. I sit on things. I really consider all of the opportunities and all of the other alternatives. But with that, I was so sure. So I started making things happen, started popping furniture in, you know, fitting out the place. That didn't take too long. And then I was in it by the end of December 2021. And it has been the biggest change for me, but also the most growth I've probably had in my entire career has come from that studio space.
So why do you think that is?
I think because people can see, not that there's absolutely anything wrong with the level of professionalism that is a home studio, because that does not define how good you are as an artist or your level of professionalism. However, when I had my space, it was clear to both myself and my clients that I was taking the next step. I was investing in my business. And that is appealing to people. People want a slice of it. When you make something that's so beautiful, even more beautiful by adding your personal flair and, you know, doing makeup from the space, people are like, wow, I want to come see. I kind of want a little piece of that. And I think having this new exciting project, which was my studio space, really allowed me to appeal to new people, and also being in Paddington, Brisbane, appeal to a totally different target market and location of people who might not want to travel from Brisbane.
So tell me a little bit more about Paddington, like where that is and what that kind of demographic is like, just for the listeners and also for me, because I know a lot of my listeners are from Melbourne, so we don't know what Paddington is.
Paddington is the most chic, beautiful, like shopping, eating district with all of the beautiful little boutique stores and boutique salons. Very high end. They have incredible food, incredible drinking spots, and it looks over the city because it's just out from the city. So you have a beautiful view of Brisbane just at our doorstep. And yeah, it's just filled with places that you might want to stroll up and down on a Sunday with a little coffee. Aww. Very, very cute, very, very aesthetic location.
Like, sis, you're kind of selling me on another ticket to Brisbane at this point.
Please come and visit the stew.
I know. I need to come back, actually. My trip last time was too short. I didn't even get to see you. But I think that's so, so beautiful to hear. I mean, so often, even for me, and this is probably just like an overshare on my part, but I think about, you know, what I want for St. Jack, and I think about what I want for my artistry. And sometimes it's like things like the studio space, or like for me, like a warehouse. It's like, it seems just out of reach, but it's like, if I just made it happen, I feel like that would fundamentally change my thinking and like the way that my business would run, because it just like, there's just something about it where it's like, you take yourself more seriously and then you command that sort of respect from everyone else around you. And like you said, it's not shitting on anyone in a home studio. It's not shitting on a mobile makeup artist. I work out of a hair salon. Absolutely, like, it's not a big deal, but it is a really interesting mind shift. And it's something I think important for people to hear, that your experience in taking that leap, if perhaps there's someone out there who's thinking about it, is that it paid off leaps and bounds, which we love to hear.
Absolutely. Do the math. If it works for you, if it's within your budget, take that risk. It'll change your life in the best way possible and open so many doors for you. And as a content creator, what better space to be in as well, because it's so beautiful, and use it to your advantage.
Yes. The studio, if you don't follow Sabrina, you will after this, but the studio itself is like gorge. It's like one of those places that you wish you kind of lived in, with the beautiful white walls and the gorgeous sunlight. So tell me then, how do you balance? Because you mentioned to me earlier that, you know, you kind of have the most clients that you ever had. And I say on your Instagram, you know, you're doing special events, you're doing weddings, like really those kind of real women moments, you know? And so you've got so many clients, but you're still posting every single day on TikTok and Instagram. So first of all, how do you juggle that? And second of all, what does like a typical week look like for you? Like, how do you balance everything, you know?
Chaos. I can't lie. It's chaotic. And I really am still working on getting my priorities straight, because I will be so immersed in my content creation that sometimes I'm like, oh my God, 6 hours has passed and I still haven't had any lunch and now it's dinner time. So I think I get sucked into it a little bit, but like an average week for me, I do try and film all of my content whenever I'm not doing client days. So that might be, well, now clients are any day of the week, really, because people are just trying to fit in all of their special occasions, which is a whole nother thing. But I try and do it, you know, on the quieter days. I will always make time for a good 2 hour routine of me just treating myself in the morning, enjoying my coffee, watching my YouTube. I'll wake up. I might sit down while I'm doing my skincare in the morning, and I'll just sit in my bathroom and sort of start setting up my little content creation area. And, you know, it's really easy to film 2 or 3 days worth of content in one sitting if you're filming each portion of the face. So I kind of don't have to film every day. I only bulk film when I'm in the mood for it, and then I will slowly drip that content over a few days. So you don't necessarily have to sit down and film every day and do clients every day and post every day, but do as much as you're capable of. Don't put more on your plate than you can handle. But I just find bulk content creating has changed my life.
Oh, for sure. It's all about bulk or batch creating so that you don't have to do it, you know, like every single day.
Yeah.
Definitely a hot take for anyone who's looking to do the TikTok game or the content game, as well as being a makeup artist, you know, and doing clients as well.
Yeah.
What is your favorite part of your job right now? Like, what brings you the most joy?
There are so many different aspects of being a business owner, makeup artist, content creator that bring me joy, because I love being in front of the camera, filming content that makes me really happy, but also being there on somebody's wedding day, doing the final touches, seeing the life that just, it's like such an exciting moment to be a part of. But my absolute favorite, if I'm being completely honest with you, is being in my studio, because being with clients in my studio is where it all began. Well, not in my studio, I didn't begin in my studio, but being with clients one-on-one doing makeup, that brings me a lot of happiness and a lot of joy, and I don't think anything really comes close to that. But then second to that would definitely be just watching the TikTok journey unravel itself.
I have always talked about it on the show, like, don't get hung up in like how many followers you have and blah, 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 and all this sort of thing. And it's like with TikTok and content creation, it's like, that's kind of important, you know, because that gives you social proof for brands and all this sort of thing. So it's like, when it comes to content creation for you, and that's something that you really take seriously, because, you know, you grew up watching YouTube, you thought to yourself, I can do this, and now you're doing it. And I'm trying to think of the best way to ask this. It's like, what's the point, and is there an end goal, or do you just want to see where it takes you? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it kind of, after a while, you're like, why am I doing this? Like, why am I putting this pressure on myself? And I think that it's a common thing that people are feeling, so I would love you to talk to it.
I think there is a lot of expectation to put content as a high priority as a business owner up there, like content creation, you've got to do it in order for your business to succeed, right? So people who aren't passionate whatsoever about filming, videography, editing, content creation in general, are making it a priority, but that's not sustainable. But I think for me, the difference is all of those things are a hobby to me. It's not just, I have to do this because I have to get more clients, or I have to do this because I have to pay my rent. It's, I can live quite comfortably just as a makeup artist posting on Instagram, whatever. But the content creation, TikTok side of things for me, I do it because I just love it. I do it because it's just a hobby. It is fun. I will sit down for hours, film myself, edit, make the video all cute. You know, that to me is how I want to spend my free time. Because beauty for me is so much more than just money and a job. It's exciting. I just want to be in it all the time. So yeah, I think that's why it's sustainable. That's why there's a point to it, because it's fun. I mean, people have hobbies outside of their work. Mine just happens to be inside the same sort of industry. But I think that it's something that I will continue doing. And I'm not necessarily trying to see how big I can get or how many followers I can get, but working with specific brands that I shop for in, you know, all of my favorite beauty stores is a huge goal of mine. So I think for me, I just want to be working with these brands that I love so much, that I've been using for so many years. I want to be creating content using their products for them, honestly, for fun, because it brings me joy and because it's true to who I am and because it's organic to me. And yeah, that's the point for me.
I love it. I love it. And I think that that's such an important takeaway. It's like, don't do content creation or TikTok or Reels or like whatever floats your boat. Don't do it because you feel like you have to. I think people on the For You page can sniff it out. it's not the real vibe. It's not it. It's like, you know, do it if you feel called to it for some reason. And, you know, it's very much, not to harp on it, but everyone knows that I love researching this shit. We're in a TikTok bubble right now and it will burst very soon, like within the next year or two. So it's like, if you are thinking about doing it, for the love of God, just do it. It reminds me, I reckon it was like, I'm trying to think, I still had my ex-boyfriend at the time. So this must have been like 2011. I'm like going back in history, man. And I'm old, but I remember saying to him, Instagram wasn't a thing. YouTube was like kind of emerging, whatever. But the thing at the time, 2011, 2012 maybe, was Tumblr. I don't even know if you or anyone else listening knows what Tumblr is. And it was like just coming through, right? And it's so funny because I remember saying to him, I was like, I love makeup so much. And at this point, I hadn't thought about it as a career or whatever. I just love makeup. And I was like, I love makeup so much. I'm going to start a Tumblr account and I'm going to call it Beth in Beauty. And I'm just going to post like pictures of like me in makeup and like makeup I like, and like flat lays wasn't a word yet, but I was like, you know, pictures of makeup and stuff. And he was like, I really don't want to drag it. But he was like, nah, he's like, that's kind of stupid. Like, you don't need to do that. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't need to do that yet. And it's so funny because I remember like I'd taken a photo that I was like, I'm going to upload this as my first photo. And I just didn't do it because, I mean, obviously I could have done it even whatever he said, but he was like, nah, it's like, you don't need to do that. I was like, yeah, you're right. Whatever. I won't do that. And so now it's so funny that like almost 10 years later, I had to have the same thought again, where it's like, I've got St. Jack, but it's like, I always wanted to have my Beth and Beauty account, you know? And so it's like, now fuck it. I'm just doing it. I'm doing it on TikTok. I don't care what anyone else thinks. And it's like, if I had just like listened to myself 10 years ago ish, God knows, you know, like what that would have been. And so it's like, if you have that feeling, don't listen to what anyone else is saying. Just do it. And who cares if people from your past or haters or whatever see your content, like, who cares? You know, I used to get so worried about that.
You know what? If it serves you, do it regardless of what other people have to say about it. Because I can bet my life that there are people in my life who watch my videos and go, lol, that's so cringe. And it probably is. But dude, it brings me so much joy. So I genuinely don't care.
I love it. I couldn't agree.
Follow your own passion. Follow your passion. And honestly, don't even listen to anybody else.
No, I couldn't agree more. It's just so funny. Like, I actually hadn't put those two and twos together until just the end. But it's like, yeah, there are always going to be people who are like, it's not worth it, or like, why, or how embarrassing. It's like, fuck them.
Yeah. Exactly. Or you've already got enough on your plate. Don't worry about it. Don't add another thing onto your plate. But really, for a lot of people, sitting down in front of a camera is somewhat therapeutic. So I suggest just giving it a go. If it's been on your mind, why not? I'll come and follow you and support you. So, yeah.
And so will I on my account that I got to make 10 years later. Well, I feel like I've almost used up just about enough of your time, but I just have one last question for you, because this is really your platform now. You've already shared so much with us. And what I love is that, you know, you're young, you're working so hard, you've kicked so many goals, and there's so much future ahead of you, and God knows what you want to do. And that's so exciting. But with everything that you know now and everything that you've learned in the last kind of what, like 7-8 years?
Yeah.
What's one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring artist at the beginning of their journey?
So this is something that I look back on, and I actually think about this very regularly. And you need to experience and explore all different styles of makeup, because people go, Sabrina, how did you find your niche? How did you find your aesthetic? I literally suggest you go and explore every single style of makeup that's out there. Try it. Familiarize yourself. This is going to take years, but it's worth it in the long run. It's not an overnight thing. And from that, you can take little pieces that you've learned from this style, little pieces that you like from that style, and slowly you'll organically just create your own aesthetic from all of that knowledge and all of those different styles that are out there. And that is how you're going to set yourself apart from everyone else, because you're not just calling yourself a natural soft glam makeup artist. You're not just calling yourself editorial makeup artist, because if you give yourself time and you explore all the different avenues and you take little bits from each, you are going to create your own style, essentially. And that's something that people want to pay for, and they'll want to book you for that. But that's not an overnight thing. That is a give it a few years, do all that you can, and then you'll walk away with all these cool little things that you can use, you know, in your own business.
That's so good. Not one single person has said that other than you, and I love it. Yep. And I think that it's very true. And I think, you know, actually, I think Tennille talked about it a little bit, like, you know, starting out and just trying to like copy everyone else or like what's popular at the time. It's like, that might not be your jam. Like the soft glam, bronzy, whatever might not be your jam. So absolutely couldn't agree more. Find what suits you, and there will always be a market for that in the end. But Sabrina, my sweet angel, thank you so, so much for coming and having this chat with me. You are a TikTok lord. You are a makeup extraordinaire. An absolute pleasure. Where can people find you on all of the platforms if they want to follow you?
So Instagram is just SabrinaWalsh_MUA, and TikTok is Sabrina Walsh Makeup Artist.
And you better get on that eyeshadow hack. Thank you so much, angel.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Wow, wow, wow. Sabrina not only has the voice of an angel, but she radiates like one too. She has such good vibes. I can't believe what she's achieved in such a short amount of time at such a young age, but I think it just goes to show the power of focus, resilience, and determination. Since we recorded this interview, she and I have actually been talking, and we both reckon that we could talk about TikTok for like at least 4 hours straight. So if you would be interested in a bonus episode about getting started on TikTok and our best tips and tricks to do that, please send me a DM, an email, whatever floats your boat. Maybe you're like Lady Whistledown, you want to send me a letter. Go ahead and do that, because if you're interested, we will definitely record that for you. In the meantime, though, here are my top two takeaways from today's episode. Number one, an investment in your business is an investment in your future. Sabrina made it work to get that studio space, and that's really pushed her business forward. But maybe there's another big purchase that's slightly smaller than that, that you're on the fence about. maybe you want to upgrade from a suitcase to an Etoile Collective kit. Maybe you want to get some new lights so that your content is even better. Whatever it is, if you can budget for it and if you can make it work, it is never going to be money wasted when it is going to help you create the future of your dreams. Number two. Now you've all heard my very, very sad story about wanting to start a makeup Tumblr 10 years ago and not having the balls to do it and caring way too much about what other people thought. So if you're thinking about getting into the content creation game right now, whether you want to do makeup tutorials, makeup, you know, features, videos, whatever, or maybe you just want to make personal vlogs about your breakfast, who cares? Make like Sabrina. Fuck the haters and start that account as soon as you finish this episode. There is no time like the present, and you won't look back in 10 years and regret starting an account. You'll only regret not listening to your gut today. Well, on that note, I am starting to feel like the Codral I took half an hour ago is really kicking in. So it's time for me to go back to bed. I am currently re-watching Schitt's Creek for at least the fourth time and putting myself through the emotional turmoil of the last season of This Is Us. This Is Us stands, please rise, by the way, because nobody talks about that show enough. But anyway, that's enough from me, honestly. There'll be another episode of Behind the Brush up in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram. My artistry account is at BethWilson_MUA. St. Jack, the account is at By St. Jack. That's BY St. Jack. On TikTok, of course, you can find me. It's at St. Jack Cosmetics or at Beth and Beauty. But for now, see you on the next one. Bye.